Mac hurried to meet Michael as soon as he cut the engine and climbed out of the cockpit.
"You're just in time, sir. There is a pilot's briefing in the mess. The Major has been asking for you. Best hurry, sir."
And then, as Michael started along the duckboards towards the mess, he called after him.
"How's she flying, sir?"
"Like a bird, Mac. Just reload the guns for me." First time ever that he hadn't fussed about his machine, Mac thought wonderingly, as he watched Michael walk away. The mess was full of pilots. All the armchairs were taken, and one or two new chums were standing against the wall at the back. Andrew sat on the bar counter, swinging his legs and sucking at the amber cigarette holder. He broke off as Michael appeared in the doorway.
"Gentlemen, we are being honoured.
Captain Michael Courtney has graciously consented to join us. Despite other pressing and important business, he has been kind enough to devote an hour or two to help us to settle our little difference with Kaiser Wilhelm II. I think we should show our appreciation." There were howls and catcalls, and somebody blew a loud raspberry.
"Barbarians!"
Michael told them haughtily, and dropped into the armchair hastily vacated by a new chum.
"Are you comfortable?"
Andrew asked him solicitously.
"Do you mind if I carry on?"
"Good.
Well, as I was saying, the squadron has received an urgent dispatch delivered by motorcyclist less than half an hour ago, direct from divisional headquarters."
He held it up and waved it at arm's length, pinching his nostrils with the other hand so that his voice was nasal as he went on. "You will be able to smell the quality of the literary style and the contents from where you are sitting." There were a few polite guffaws, but the eyes that watched him were screwed up nervously, and here and there there were little nervous moments. The shuffling of feet, one of the old hands cracking his knuckles, another nibbling on his thumbnail, Michael unconsciously blowing on his fingertips, for all of them knew that the scrap of coarse yellow paper that Andrew was waving at them might be their death warrant. Andrew held it at arm's length and read from it. "From Divisional Headquarters, Arras, to the officer commanding No. 21 Squadron RFC near Mortsom. As of 2400 hours, 4th of April 1917, you will at all costs prevent any enemy aerial observations over your designated sector until further orders to the contrary." "That's all, gentlemen. Four lines, a mere bagatelle. But let me point out to you the succinct phrase, at all costs, without dwelling upon it." He paused and looked over the mess slowly, watching it register on each strained and gaunt face. "My God, look how old they have grown," he thought, irrelevantly. "Hank looks 50 years old, and Michael..." He glanced up at the mirror over the mantelpiece, and when he saw his reflection, he brushed nervously at his own forehead, where in the last few weeks the sandy hair had receded in two deep bays, leaving pink skin like a beach at low tide. Then he dropped his hand self-consciously and went on. "Beginning at 0500 hours tomorrow morning, all pilots will fly 4 daily sorties until further notice," he announced. "There will be the usual dawn and dusk sweeps, but from now on they will be at full squadron strength." He looked around for questions. There were none. "Then each flight of aircraft will make an additional 2 sorties, 1 hour on and 2 hours off. Or, as our friends in the Royal Navy are wont to say, standing watch and watch. That way we will maintain a perpetual presence over the squadron's designated area." They all stirred again, and then heads turned towards Michael, for he was the eldest and their natural spokesman. Michael blew on his fingers and then studied them minutely.
"Do I have any questions?"
Hank cleared his throat.
"Yes?"
Andrew turned to him expectantly, but Hank subsided back into his armchair. "Just to get this straight," Michael spoke at last, "we will all fly the 2 hours dawn and dusk patrols. That's 4 hours,
and then an additional 4 hours during the day? Is my arithmetic correct, or does that make 8 hours of combat a day? Give Captain Courtney a coconut. Andrew nodded. My trade union isn't going to like it. And they laughed. A nervous, braying chorus quickly cut off. 8 hours was too much. Far too much. No man could exercise the vigilance and nervous response necessary to sustain that length of combat flight for a single day. They were being asked to do it day after day without promise of respite. Any other questions? Service and maintenance of the aircraft? Mac has promised me that he can do it, Andrew replied to Hank. Anything else? No? All right, gentlemen. My book is open. But the pilgrimage to the bar to take advantage of Andrew's offer was subdued, and nobody discussed the new orders. They drank quietly but determinedly, avoiding each other's eyes. What was there to discuss?